Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You are still listening to Behind the Steel Curtain. I'm Michael Beck, joined with Jeffrey Benedict and Hawk in Lockdown from Tennessee Titans Weekly. Having a lot of fun so far. We talked a lot of offense in the first half. I kind of want to talk about the Steelers receivers as kind of the last group we haven't touched on before we kind of move on to that other side of the ball. I'll start with Hawk on this one. The Steelers, I know we mentioned Deontay Johnson before we went into our quick break there, but all these other receivers that the Steelers kind of have, they kind of have that like core four and their big tight ends. Is there one name on this on paper that kind of makes you a little nervous in this game?
Well, we all know about Juju, okay? Mm-hmm. We do know about the guy. He's done a heck of a job in his career so far, in his young career. He's definitely a wide receiver one. That's why he's out there. He's making plays. He had a great game last week. I've seen him do the gritty dance when he scored a touchdown. You know, you never know what type of dance Juju is going to do when he scores a touchdown, right? It's kind of like a wait and see, right? So we know about Juju, okay? And so we have to do a really good job in covering him. But the guy that I'm concerned about of the receivers, you know, looking at this game is James Washington. You know, he has a lot of speed. He's a strong receiver too. You know, catches a lot of passes on the inside and breaks a lot of tackles. You know, a lot of times we put a lot of focus on that one receiver and then leave the other one on an island. Now, you know, our corners right now have struggled. Last year, that was a strength of our team, was our DBs. Mm-hmm. And Kevin Byard, the All-Pro, if those that don't know about Kevin Byard, the way he's playing right now, he's probably the best safety in the league. Top three, definitely, right? 17 interceptions in a four-year career, right? So he struggled. Adoree Jackson's out, who was Juju's former teammate at USC. He's out. So you look at Malcolm Butler, you know, the Super Bowl champion who had the interception against the Seahawks. He has struggled mightily. And now we do have the rookie Christian Fulton. And so we have a lot of DBs that we can throw out there, but they're struggling. And so I think we'll do a decent job against Juju, but we got to be careful of James Washington. He actually is my concern more than Juju for this particular game.
Interesting. Now, Jaga, I'm curious your thoughts on the Steelers receivers as well.
So, of course, like you said, we got Juju, we got James, got Dante. I'm more concerned of Chase. And the reason why I say this, we had a rookie in Jefferson that went off last week. Literally. I mean, he had a career game. Yes. Literally. I mean, one of the best rookie showings in decades, literally. And I'm like, okay, is that young Randy Moss out there?
Right.
The problem with the Titans is we put our attention on Juju. We have James. Who's going to guard Chase, right? That leaves Chase right there in that slot position on you. Move him to the outside. Literally, we've been struggling. And I mean, literally, last week, Butler was getting exposed by Jefferson every other play. And you literally like, hey, move him over. So for me, it's Chase. I mean, even though he has six receptions, yes. With us and rookies, no. It just never pans out. And this could be a career game for Chase, literally how I think he's struggling. Because you just don't trust them. I mean, right now we have Chris Jackson, who's our rookie. I think he was a seven-round pick who was out. You, like you said, you have Jackson who was out. And Butler's struggling. And if you've ever played DB, you know it's a communication issue. It's communication. If you communicate, hey, I'm cover three, you know, hey, I got deep thirds, you got the cover two, we were here, we man down here, we're going to communicate. Last week, what I saw was miscommunications everywhere. So if we can't get our communication issue together, yes, like I said, we got James, we got Juju. What about Chase? What do we have? So for me, it'll be Chase. I just – It's something about these rookie receivers that they tend to get career games. They have career days against the Titans. I just don't know why.
that is something to look for. I know Jeffrey and myself are a bit of Chase Claypool homers. Myself being from the great white north of Canada as well, I actually do know Chase. Watching him do what he's done so far has been pretty incredible. But Jeffrey, I ask you, three games in, didn't have kind of the targets that he did in week two, but still came down with that clutch kind of game sealing reception right at the end there. What have you seen out of his development three weeks into the year?
I think they're finding ways to use him to his strengths. Obviously, he got put in against Houston. He ended up playing the most snaps of any wide receiver in that game after Deontay Johnson went down. But they're mostly using him to his strengths. They're having him run deeper routes. They're moving guys, letting James Washington and Juju work underneath him. And he had the quick catch on the sideline and run for 24 yards, but he also drew that big pass interference call on fourth down on our big field goal drive to start the second half. He's making plays. I can see it being a big game for him because, like they were saying, the Titans don't have depth right now at cornerback. Their defensive backs are getting pretty taxed out there.
Yep.
And we could see someone go off if they're playing a lot of man. You could see that be James Washington, simply because he is so hard to match up with one on one, and with his strength and his combat catching ability. And if they got somebody out there who can't handle Juju, it's Ben will hit him all day.
Yeah. Now let's transition here to the defensive side of the ball. And there's some great pass rushers, some outside defenders in this game. I kind of want to start on the Tennessee side. Jadeveon Clowney, kind of that big time signing right at the end of that kind of weird offseason type period. Maybe I'll pose this to Hawk first. What has Clowney kind of done to this defense? How has he kind of changed this unit? And what has he brought to this team so far?
Well, if you look at stats, you'd probably think he has underperformed because he has zero sacks right now, right? And we're paying him a pretty penny to be here. But what Jadeveon Clowney does, he brings a presence. He brings double teams, right? Because they don't want him to go wild. And Clowney's has never really been a sack guy. That's what is really not understood. He's a run stopper. That's what he is. He's dang near a defensive tackle more than a DN. But, you know, right now his performance has been shaky. I can't say I'm walking away like, oh, Clowney's just doing great. I just like the fact that he's been bringing in the presence. Teams have been double teaming him, which has allowed Jeffrey Simmons to go off. And Jeffrey Simmons, man to man, is unstoppable. You know, the offensive line of Pittsburgh, they better be ready, I'm telling you. But Jadeveon Clowney has had an uneven performance so far. This is one game where I think Clowney could be an impact in the sack game because the NFL now is more like arena football. That was a hup, boom. So it's hard to get sacks. I think the leading sacks like Alden Smith at 4 sacks. So it's hard to get sacks right now. It really is because the ball goes out so quick. But Roethlisberger does his progressions. He takes his 4-6 step drop and he looks and takes his time to throw the football. So this could be a game where Clowney could make the difference. Kirk Cousins threw the ball quick. Gardner Minshew, and so did Drew Lock. Down to the hub, boom, ball's out. Roethlisberger, who's 10 times better than him, takes his time. So, you know, we'll see. I hope Clowney does well. You know, we'll see. We'll see, man. We'll see.
Now, Jock, I'll pose it to you a little more broad. What do you think of this entire Titans defensive line and how have they kind of done in 2020 so far?
So, and a lot of people don't realize what we have on our defensive line. We have Harold Landry, who had 8 sacks or 9 sacks last year. We have Vic Beasley, who had 8 sacks last year. Of course, you have Clowney, who had 3, and I think you had Jeff, who had, like, I think 2 or 3 last year. Now, the thing is, they haven't all been on the field at the same time. We actually got a peek and a glimpse at it last week when that last drive when Minnesota was trying to drive down the field to get that field goal. They actually all 4 were on the field at the same time, and they were able to bring pressure. When it's just 1 or 2 of them on the field, you really don't see it. You're like, okay, hey, yeah, Clowney's over here guarding double teams. Harold Landry's not a every down pressure guy. He'll get you maybe 1 a sack every other quarter maybe, or he'll get you a pressure every other quarter. But he's had an interception this year. So the defensive line has gotten pressure, but we just can't get to the quarterback. I would like to see – some adjustments to where we can get all four of them on the field at the same time. And we might have to do that with Kalama Correa out on the COVID list and Daquan Jones is out. So literally, we might have to scheme up to where, hey, Big Clowney, we have you on the right, Harold, you on the left, Vic, you're right here in the seam. So we're good. Let's go. So right now, we really haven't seen the actual flower blossom yet. If I can say it like that, we haven't seen it really just unravel. And of course, if we would have had a preseason, maybe we could have seen, hey, more preparation, more time. But right now, we're getting there. We're not there yet, but we're getting there. And this could be a game where we have no choice. Literally, we have to put all four of them on the same end field at the same time to get pressure on Ben. So just look for that. That actually might actually happen. And if it does, then it won't be as easy as Steelers fans think it would be, because like Hawk has been saying, Jeffrey Simmons is right now is an all pro. He will make the Pro Bowl literally this year. And if not this year, it'll be next year. People look out for Big Jeff.
98, number 98, number 98. He's a monster. I'm telling you.
I'll be sure to, I'll write that down. I'm going to watch him all game long.
Marquise Pouncey is an unbelievable center. You know, he better be ready. He better be ready. I'm telling you, DeCastro, be ready. Be ready.
Now, speaking of that Steelers offensive line for you, Jeffrey, they had an okay game last week. Like, obviously, let up a couple pressures. Ben took a couple really big shots, which I know a lot of us aren't too happy to see. But overall, they played a pretty good game against the Texans. How do they match up better against the Titans this week?
Well, the right side of our line has been phenomenal the last couple of weeks. DeCastro being back, he was actually better even than as much as Dotson, as much as rookie Kevin Dotson impressed us in week two. David DeCastro was exactly what you would expect. He was significantly better. Chukwuma Okorafor did a great job against J.J. Watt, really held his own there. We know he's got great feet. We know he's good against speed rushers, but he was handling J.J.'s power too. He was taking power moves and just dealing with them. So the right side of our line is doing great. Pouncey has had really good games. Like he had kind of a down year last year. This year he looks really good. The problem is our left side of the line. We got Alejandro Villanueva over there, and we've got I cannot remember his name.
Matt Filer.
Thank you. We got Filer. They are not playing well together. They don't seem to have a good chemistry built over there on the left side this year, even though they've played together before. And that's really the question mark there, is what their right side can do. That's Harold Landry. I don't know who they line up a defensive tackle over there, but I don't think Clowney has been on the right side sometimes.
Clowney's been usually our left defensive end. Harold Landry's our right defensive end.
Yeah,
Jeffrey Simmons will line up in that spot where he's at. Okay. Sometimes be ready.
They'll interchange him and Daquan sometimes.
And Daquan, so. Be ready.
Okay. Yeah. So really, Harold Landry and whoever they line up a right defensive tackle, that's the matchup to watch out for. Because I think the right side still is going to handle it. The way they're playing is just – Okorafor may have a bad game. He may slow down. But right now, he is playing phenomenal. But what they were saying with their defensive line, losing Jarrell Casey, bringing in Jadeveon Clowney, what you see there is it seems like the defensive line really doesn't have a good chemistry developed, doesn't have a good identity, doesn't have they haven't figured each other and themselves out yet.
Right.
Which is a similar problem they have in their secondary. It's just there's been some very key turnover, and they have those weaknesses, but the talent's there.
The talent is there, dude. Yeah. It is there.
Yeah. Jeffrey Simmons was my favorite when he was coming out in the draft. I was like, that guy's a beast.
Yeah.
They've got so much talent there. People know I've always been a huge Bud Dupree fan, but Jadeveon Clowney is like Bud Dupree before TJ Watt came around.
Okay.
Only better. Like, he can drop into coverage. He can read the defense. He can blow up the entire side of a run game. Yep. He can take over, like, that side of the board himself. But he's not a finisher, right? Yeah. He's a havoc causer. He's going to get in there and disrupt things. He's going to mess you up. He's going to collapse your pocket. He can do all that stuff, but he's not really a finisher in the pass rushing game. And the only time we really saw Jadeveon Clowney put up sacks, he was across from J.J. Watt, which is the same we've seen with Bud Dupree. Only time he's putting up sacks is when he's across from T.J. Watt.
Gotcha.
So so we've got a great bunch of players. The question is, at what point in this season is that defense going to come together for the Titans and snap, have the light come on, click, they figure themselves out, because then they're going to be nasty to deal with when that happens. Yeah.
Now, speaking of the entire Titans defense as a whole, Jacques, I'll start with you on this one. How do they stop the Steelers offense? What do they got to do to walk away with this victory?
So, first of all, we have to make – of course, we're missing Dean Pease. We miss Dean Pease. That is the key player coach that was a key to our success last year on defense, because Dean Pease was able to disguise your weakness. So he was able to put you in places that your strengths were. This year, what we're seeing is Vrabel calling the plays. My linebackers coach, Bowen, is calling the plays. So there's no real in-game adjustments. What we're going to have to do with this game is we're going to first have to get pressure on Big Ben. That's the number one thing. And you might have to get creative, like I said earlier, is putting all four of them on the field at the same time, literally. I mean, they're probably going to have to play 80% of the snaps just to get pressure on Big Ben. And then with us being so thin in the secondary, last year we went a lot of three safety sets. Literally, we had Amani Hooker, Vaccaro, and Byard back there. So that helped out a lot. It brings down that extra safety. He can come in the slot or he can come in that linebacker a role if he needs to. This year, we're not doing that as much. We're literally man here, cover two here, cover three, zone here. And to me, we're not a good zone team. We're more of a good man team. We got Christian Fulton, the rookie, who's made plays. He literally had an interception with the Jacksonville game. He had a sack last game. So I would like to see him get more involved and put him maybe on a Chase Claypool or give him a shot on – and I wouldn't say James, because James is an incredible receiver. But we're really going to have to get creative with this game, especially with the preparation not being there, us not practicing. I mean, literally, we're going to have to do a lot of film study. So for me, we're literally going to have to go back to the basics, literally. Hey, let's look at film, what we did last year. We had three safety sets. Okay, boom, let's keep them out there. We need to get pressure. We got our four beasts of our defensive line out there. And then our linebackers are going to have to step up and guard the tight ends and make tackles when it's time to make those key tackles and those run stops. Because, like I said, we've been weak in our run game. But the key, man, is we're going to have to get back to the basics, literally. The basics is – let's do what we did last year, and let's figure out how we can get Mike Vrabel needs to be on the phone with Dean Pease right now, literally right now, and discussing and saying, hey, how do we get back on track? Because right now we're struggling. So,
Now, Lorenzo, I'm going to specify this a little bit more. If you could give me one position group that has to have a big game for this win on that defensive side of the ball, who are those guys?
It's a simple answer, man. It's the defensive line, man. It's the D line. I'm telling you, if we can control Ben Roethlisberger, we rattle him, make him look like Ben Roethlisberger, right? We hit him a bit. I think that would be huge for us. Okay, when Ben is untouched, Ben is incredible. He's a Hall of Famer. I mean, it's no question. Ben Roethlisberger is unbelievable. We know this, right? But you know, again, if you go to the Jags game back in the playoffs several years ago, you know, Jacksonville was just smacking him around. He had Ben at one point thinking about retiring right after the game. As soon as the game was over, Ben was like, I don't know if I want to do this again. I just don't know. I'm like, wow, I can't believe he's saying these things. So we have to get him in that mindset, right, to hit Ben Roethlisberger. It's got to come from our defensive ends. And as Jock alluded to earlier, we don't have Daquan Jones. We don't have Kamala Correa. Those are two guys. One, Daquan being a starter, Correa plays a lot. So now we got our four best defensive linemen that can rush the passer. We hit them a bit, and you know that could rattle them. So our defensive line, they have to play well because we're struggling on our secondary. We can't trust them. Our inside linebackers are having a terrible season too. So it's on our defensive linemen. If Jeffrey Simmons has a big game, we're going to win this football game. If we can hit Roethlisberger, we can win. If we do not hit Roethlisberger, Roethlisberger and Eric Ebron are going to have a field day. Mark my words. I don't know the stats so far on Ebron. I know how good Ebron is because we played him every year with the Colts. And I know the tight end has always been a struggle for us. If you're in fantasy football and you have a tight end versus the Titans and he's on the bench, you better start him. I don't care who he is. It could be me out there, right? Start him. Start him. I'm telling you. But Eric Ebron and Ben Roethlisberger are going to have a field day if we don't hit Roethlisberger, man. I'm telling you. That's a fact. Mark my words, bro.
I think Eric Ebron might be available in one of my leagues, so he is getting picked up.
Sign him. Sign him. I guarantee you. Sign him. For real.
All right. I'm holding you to it.
He'll have one touchdown, guaranteed. And that's all you can ask for a tight end.
It really is.
Fantasy football.
It's true. Jeffrey, Mike Vrabel is one of your favorite coaches I know across the entire NFL. What do you kind of expect from him and his game plan against the Steelers?
This is I've told you before, this is a game I'm picking the Steelers to lose. I'm still on that. This is one of those games where everything's against you. The Steeler fans loved having a coach like Bill Cowher. It would just be like, you know what? We're going to do very basic things. We're going to get back to basics. They're going to know what we're doing, and it won't matter if we do it better. And Vrabel has that. Vrabel has that gumption. He has that, like, stick your jaw out and just say, you know, screw everything. We're going to win this game no matter what. He has that kind of thing. And I think with their team and the situation they're in, it could actually be a benefit to have kind of a week off, get out of game planning, get out of, you know, just – planning for an opponent, go back a little bit to something simpler, go back to what your strengths are and just throw it out there and see what happens. I could see the Steelers coming out in this game. The defense has been good, but not, you know, not solid. It hasn't been all together. And our offense is getting it done sometimes and other times, not really. So I think you could see a game where the Titans come out, you know, they get some rest. They have some hard practices right before the day of the game. Come out, keep the scheme simple, and just go out and play football. Give the Steelers trouble. Keep the game close. And that's their style. That's when they win. And I think Mike Vrabel is the exact kind of coach to take a simple scheme that works against the Steelers. You know, Belichick's stuff he ran against us wasn't complicated. It just worked because it always did. And he knows that. He knows us from that, and he knows how to deal with this kind of situation. So I think he is kind of the perfect coach for this game and situation where they shouldn't win. They're not getting to practice. The field isn't even. The odds aren't good. But you just go out there and you play football better than the person across from you, and you're going to win the game.
Now, we are getting to the top of the hour, and I do want to get to game predictions and a couple other things really quick. But I would be remiss if I did not bring up T.J. Watt and Bud Dupree. Hawk, why don't I start with you on this one? What are the Titans got to do to slow down the Steelers pass rush who have been racking up the sacks so far three weeks into the year?
Gotcha. And by the way, great comments by the subscribers here, man. Awesome, right. Awesome comments, man. You guys great job on the comments here. So, Taylor Lewan plays the question. Taylor Lewan left the last game with a shoulder injury. And so – if he doesn't play, you know, I don't know if you guys know, our first round pick was Isaiah Wilson. Mm-hmm. Isaiah Wilson's had a lot of issues, a lot of trouble. He's had COVID twice. He got arrested a few weeks ago. He was actually pulled over even about a month or so ago. Right now, he's a big guy that's acting like a 14-year-old child, just being honest. So he's not available. So right now, we're going with a guy named Ty Sombrello. Yeah, who is that, right? I don't know, right?
Right.
The guy we signed during the offseason from the Atlanta Falcons. He struggled against the Vikings last week. He did. Now, he got better as the game wore on, especially in the run blocking. But on pass blocking against T.J. Watt and Dupree, that's where the struggle is going to be if Taylor Lewan is not on the field. If Taylor plays, I think that'll be a pretty good matchup. I think him and T.J. Watt will battle. But Sombrello is the issue here. Bud Dupree, you know, against Dennis Kelly.
Yeah, Dennis Kelly.
I like Bud Dupree in that matchup, too. I do. I'm more worried about T.J. Watt. I think he's more of a dynamic pass rusher than Bud Dupree. Bud Dupree, similar to Jadeveon Clowney in a lot of ways. Same size, same build, same type of a guy, right? T.J. Watt is my worry. Am I concerned? Yes, I am. I'm very concerned. Yes. The positive of Ryan Tannehill is that he gets the ball out quickly. He doesn't allow a lot of sacks.
He's not Mariota.
Exactly. He's not Marcus Mariota. That is correct, sir. Mariota would have been sacked probably six times. That's a fact. So with, you know, Tannehill throwing the ball quickly, hoping T.J. Watt just for a little bit, just to kind of keep him down, I think that'll be the strength for us. But he'll win the battle with Sombrello. So Steeler fans, we know about T.J. Watt. He will win that battle.
Kick it over to you, Jacques. What do you think on this matchup?
I mean, Hawks on it. Like, literally, like, and we got Sombrello. If Taylor doesn't play, Sombrello's going to have his hands full, literally. I mean, last week he struggled, and the Minnesota Vikings doesn't have a T.J. Watt on their defensive line. So that concerns me. My problem is we shouldn't have never got rid of Jack Conklin, because usually in this situation, what will happen is Jack Conklin will, of course, be at the right tackle. We'll move Kelly in that left tackle role. Kelly's able to hold it down. I trust Kelly. Sambrello, no. And like you guys said about Bud Dupree, he's just like Jadeveon. Literally, he's going to finish when he needs to finish, but he's not that finisher. So, and something, a stat that people don't really know, fans and the Steelers fans don't know, that Ryan Tannehill really hasn't been sacked. It's a weird thing because he gets the ball out fast, but the pass protection has literally been lights out. I think he's been sacked maybe once or twice, but compared to last year when Mariota was sacked 100,000 times, it compares night and day. So if Tannehill can get the ball out, and like Hawk said, if he can just hold him for just at least a couple of seconds, we will be fine. But if Sambrello plays, it's going to be a struggle. So, and it's also important to get the run blocking going as well. So, yeah, they worry me. But hopefully if Taylor Lewan plays, I feel comfortable with the pass blocking. Yes, Watt will get pressure. But like I said, they've been good at their pass blocking, which I'm actually shocked. So,
yep. Now, we're right up against it here, Jeffrey. I think we can just dive straight into game predictions because I want to make sure everyone can plug their stuff. I know you got the Titans in this one, but what's your score prediction?
Titans 23, Steelers 21. They keep it close all game, and at the end, like the Steelers have been closing out every game with the ball. I think this is the game that changes. They let it stay close. Ben doesn't do what he needs to do to put this team away, and they take it over late with King Henry.
Awesome. Now we'll kick it down to Hawk on the next prediction.
So me and Jacques had our prediction show before the season started, and we got to stay true to what we predicted. I actually had the Steelers winning this football game, ladies and gentlemen. I did. Of course, I want the Titans to win. I hope we win. I hope I'm wrong, very wrong. But I just think, you know, the fact that we're not practicing, that's an added fabric in this thing. You know, right now we have a lot of injuries. We have a lot of things struggling right now. I don't think it'll be a blowout. I think it'll be a very close game. I think it'll be a very good high-scoring game, to be honest. So I'm actually going – Steelers 32, Titans 30. I think it's going to be a high-scoring football game.
Wow. Now, yeah. Jock, kicking it down to you.
I think I had the Steelers winning, too. I think I did. It's just the factors, man. This doesn't help that all the COVID stuff happened. This doesn't help at all. And literally, I had us losing, even with game preparation. But with the COVID stuff going on and not being able to practice, I have us actually losing 35 to 24. So.
All right, now for me, kicking ending it off here, tying a bow on it. I kind of had the Steelers going undefeated into Baltimore was my kind of bold prediction for this year. So I'm going to ride with that. I'm going to say the Steelers win this one by field goal 20. Actually, it'll be a little bit less. We'll go with 21-18. I think with your long snapper being out. Steven Gostkowski doesn't get the opportunity to kick a four straight game winner. Right. So the Steelers come out and end this game 4-0. Now, Jacques, I'll kick it down to you really quick here at the end. If you guys got anything to plug, Jacques, why don't you go first and Hawk second?
So Hawks, I plug, man. Go ahead and plug it, brother.
All right.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining in on the show. Thank you for the comments and everything. Just me asked who's the best slot for our team, Adam Humphries. So I'll answer that real quick. But I'd say, you know, again, for those that haven't heard of us, we are Tennessee Titans Weekly. And another thing, in Pittsburgh, a lot of people say I look like Mike Tomlin, just bald. So I don't know. I get that a lot, y'all. When I was in Pittsburgh, I'm telling you, I got that a lot. So I don't know if y'all think that or whatever. I just want to throw that tidbit in there. But, if you'd like to subscribe to our channel, you know, subscribe at Tennessee Titans Weekly. We're actually on Instagram at Tennessee Titans Weekly as well. You can contact us on email at Tennessee Titans Weekly at gmail.com and on Twitter at Titans Weekly 24/7. Hey, man, we're active.
Also, to piggyback off of Hawk, we accept all subscribers, all NFL. We know our teams. We know every team in the NFL. So we do have Jag fans that have subscribed to the channel. We got Chief fans who have subscribed to the channel. Ravens fans. So definitely, we friendly. We love football. We talk football. We live football. We bleed football. So definitely, like you said, hit us up, man. We love it. This was fun. I really enjoyed this.
This was fun. We love doing these type of shows. And Bob, I know you spoke on the Ravens. I don't know how much you guys hate the Ravens. We hate the Baltimore Ravens.
We can't stand
the Ravens. Nothing personally. We're just saying that's a rival, like a huge rival for us, man.
Yes.
Oh, but
we don't have any love for them.
Yeah.
Understood.
All right. We're at the very top here, Jeffrey. I'm sorry. We're pretty much out of time on this one. You always got great film rooms coming out, so make sure you're checking that stuff out. We got Steeler Stat Geek coming out tomorrow morning, like co-editor Dave Schofield has said in the live chat, so make sure to check that out in the audio platform. For all our guests today, thank you for tuning in to another edition of Know Your Enemy, and whenever this game kicks off, we'll be excited to break it down for that game. Thanks for hanging out with us, guys, and have a great night.